take his inheritance. Now, notice here, the text says the term inheritance expresses the full title to lordship, and his murderers thought that with him dead, they might be able to constrain the divine law to subserve their own interest and ambition and regain their lost honor and influence as a result of Christ's exposure. Now we get, look-see into the situation right there, I think, of him who is behind all of this, who is Satan himself. Formerly he was Lucifer, but because of his pride and ambition and ego and everything, he tried for that and got kicked out, but he's still trying this through men. And the peculiar thing about it is that he has not quit even now. And when that is a fact that I think needs to be recognized a whole lot more right now. Let's take, for instance, on the world scene. What's Russia trying to do? Take the world, and you will watch you'll study the apostasy. You will see that thing that behind that apostasy is that old pride again begins to creep up in some leaders, and they began then to take this little idea and that little idea and just slowly kindly began to lead people astray. And when you try to point that out to them, they'll laugh at you just as surely, didn't they? And it's surprising, you know. I've told you several times here, about 3 years ago now, I guess it was, in chapel one morning, I just mentioned the fact that we were in the apostasy, and I really didn't know what I was saying to them, really. I didn't know the degree then that it was in. But anyhow, 2 or 3 days later, some of the boys said, you know, you should have shook up some of them the other day. You said that. And I said, well, I didn't intend to really shake up anybody, but if it made them think, I'm glad they're thinking. Well, lo and behold, it wasn't long till I found out that I was behind the times, that it had developed far more than I had anticipated, and I know that it is accelerating now. Did you get the history of the ABA, the new history, that they just come out?
Yeah.
All right. Now, I didn't know that till I was reading that. And have you read to the section where there came almost a split in 1970? They almost had another split there. And, of course, I think that was over an incidental thing rather than a doctrinal thing. But those are the things that you have to watch all along. And I think I heard someone say last year that, how'd things go? Well, we're riding for another split. Well, what's the idea? The point is, when people began to get a little numerous, churches get a little numerous, they get a little more power, they began to kind of make themselves felt. There are ambitious people who like to do just exactly like they did in the early churches. Take, for instance, Rome. Several churches got in and around Rome, and there would usually be one of the pastors around there that was a little above the average, maybe in personality and in knowledge and so forth. And when the other pastors would have some problem, they naturally got to going on him. Well, that finally led to the institution of what we call bishops now over dioceses that came into the Catholic Church. Well, to a great extent, without that name, we have those things that happen in Baptist ranks also. And that was one thing that I liked so well, and I'm going to use it several times, I think next semester. Brother Powers and Brother Glover both, as they came near to the end of that history, they emphatically said, we are nothing but the old-fashioned landmark Baptist. Now that's a thing we find today, that a lot of our own people want to get away from that word. They don't like the background back yonder, because if you read the history of that back in there, Baptists had gotten very, very loose about the time of G.R. Graves. G.R. Graves came in, went to preaching, but another man was the fellow that preached some sermons on remove not the ancient landmarks. And that's where the, I believe it was Pendleton. Jim Pendleton preached that sermon. And they got then to nicknaming them landmarks. Well, here's the whole thing in a nutshell. When there is a survey made of a piece of land of this country and so on, and I notice that in the very center of the United States is somewhere over here in Arkansas, and that place is out here in no break. You know what a break is? It's shallow water play, and they've got a walkway built up to go out there. Now that's the very center of the survey of the whole United States. Now, when that survey has been made, that sets the thing down. And the two admonitions in the Bible, remove not the ancient landmarks and so on, those survey points that have been established by the proper authority that commissioned it in the very beginning, those are to stand for all time. And we find today that any time any of us buy a piece of property, I don't care if it's a little plot over here, they'll go back eventually to one of these landmarks and locate you a piece of ground right there. And if they remove one of these landmarks, you wouldn't know where your land was. You wouldn't have any way of describing it or anything at all. Now that's what we mean spiritually. If you remove those landmarks, we call it, those doctrines that Jesus established, they began to be removed, then the first thing you know, the churches began to drift, and you never know just exactly where they are. That happens is the reason we've got the messages to the seven churches of Asia. And that's why we have the admonition of Paul, especially, and some of the other writers, to the churches to correct things that were wrong within them. Now, that brings me to another point here. These fellas here, here's there. Let's kill him and take it over, the inheritance. We're going to run this thing. That brings another thing that we have to watch ourselves. And that is the old pride, we call it. It's the old ego. I want to be somebody. I want to be somebody. And now I'll tell you, it hurts when somebody that's just about like you are, or maybe doesn't measure up to the stature you do, He likes to kick you down. And that's one way a group of people build them up, is by trying to tear down everybody else so they'll be the highest one. Now that thing will happen. Therefore, today I think we ought to have some preaching on the responsibility that goes with the stewardship of leadership. We need that very much, and we see this thing standing out. Now then, the reason I was finished with this yesterday, but last night my wife ran on some things right here in the book I'm going to give in the general purpose class this morning if we have time. She was asking me some questions. What about this wild olive tree into which the native olive tree into which the wild olive tree was grafted? What does that mean? Well, exactly, Paul is using that illustration here. Israel, so far as the covenants and all are concerned, is the tame olive tree. But what did she do? She did not live up to her privileges and opportunities, and she wanted to be like the rest of the world. Now there's where the problem comes today religiously. Even among us, too many times we want to be like Protestantism, the rest of the world, and this, that, and the other. Now, when you have those news last night, I wish the fellow hadn't said, but the man who, a fellow by the name of Kirkland, that has taken George Meany's place just before George Meany died. Well, Kirkland, in making his address in that Catholic church there, said now he hoped for better working conditions in the future worldwide and so on, because now George Meany's up there negotiating with God for better working conditions down here on earth.
Yeah, I think he's worried about negotiations and how to put this fire out.
All right, but now you see people swallow that kind of thing. And where did he say it? He said it in one of the big representative churches that are recognized today by the world, the press, the governments, and everything else, don't you see? And some of us see that, and we kind of have a little inkling, oh, I kind of like to be that important. There's too many times that thing will happen when we're not satisfied to be just what Jesus made us to be. And that's the thing that I wish today, that Brother Gideon Bogard could be resurrected for about a generation here.
5 years anyway.
Yeah, 5 years anyhow. I just like to see and get a hold of some of these so-called leaders today and get them down to where they could be proper leaders. That's what is needed. Because he was a man that said, whatever your vocation or your calling is, you be the best you can if it's digging ditches. Now the point was this: instead of aspiring and overly ambitious, fulfill fully the place that God's given you, and quit looking over the fence over yonder and trying to outdo somebody else. All right, now that's the kind of these guys that were. Now, the point we want to notice here is that somebody else was grafted in. What, the wild olive tree grafted into the good? In the business of grafting, we usually go the other way. Now, in part of the country I come from, we have pecans. And we have the good paper shelf con. Well, this little, the other side. Someplace over where it gets feet a little wetter. But we had what was known as an old bitter pecan that grew down in the wet sections of the creek bottom, things like that. Okay. Bitter, no good. But somebody got smart enough, they found some of these paper shells that you'll get the buds. And they grab these buds for these old bitter pecans. The result was, man, pecan grows throughout that whole country. And my mother-in-law had several pecan trees right out in front. The fact of this, I've got some pecans at the house right now. Lois said last night, I've got to make another pecan pie before they get older. Because whenever we go back there, they give us a nice bag of shelled halves of pecans. But how did they produce them? Took the old wild one as the stump and grafted the good one on. But now in this business, we find just the opposite. Well, what is it? Israel failed to do what she was supposed to do according to her privileges and covenants. And so, God said he's going to take it away from and get somebody through the world. And that that he did was a new humanity. And that new humanity is that in Jesus Christ where they lose their distinction of Jew and Gentile and become a new creation in Christ Jesus. Now that's what we're supposed to be, brother. And what are we supposed to be doing? We're supposed to, and we are, whatever degree of faithfulness, we're doing what God wanted old Israel to do, but she didn't do it. So he's putting up with some of us today, and we don't have anything to brag about. But there we are, don't you see? And so give it to a nation that would bring forth the righteousness, and that will be a little nuclear in the finality of things that's going to be glorified and will be with Christ, the new humanity, the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. And comes back to this one thing, old Israel will not fulfill her covenant privileges until the millennium, and she'll only do it then because Jesus Christ is on the throne and the church glorified working together with him. And I know what 12 charter members, more or less, are going to be doing, sitting on 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And brethren, it's going to take that, all of that working together to produce the glorious things of the next age, of the millennium.
In Romans, I was reading this the other day that the Lord said, he wanted the church that I cut Israel off. You better watch what you do. I can cut you off.
All right. I'll tell you what I think, brethren, ought to be done. Now, you hear people talk about, oh, we need a revival. I'll go along. We do. But I think where a revival might get started first, when the preacher kind of gets down on his knees and gets right with the Lord, and then take the message to the seven churches of Asia and then begin preaching to the churches. And a few of them get right, He ain't here.
Gilbert Carr is appalling today to see how Eric is putting him on there.
I'm glad you see that, brother. Philip?
And I mean, it's working. You know, I'm writing people on the grid line a year ago. And some things that I have seen in our churches, for instance, we've had several churches go for it, man, this last year.
Yeah.
And one thing that I have seen in this is that they begin anointing the sick. That's how it starts. They begin anointing the sick. And this is very good. A big controversy up at Lancaster here a while back. They had quite a fight about the church up there. They wanted to bring the cripple boy there and anoint him the Lord. That's what they're doing now. I think if it doesn't start there, it starts with the individual.
Mm-hmm.
And the individuals had the idea, well, they had quite a stink in the church over the thing. And they, I'm hoping this thing will get straightened out before it goes too far. But they had quite a fight over it. They ended up just bringing the boy up front. Brother, we love one another. No doubt about it.
Yeah.
I would love to see you up the wall, brother, for our
yeah.
It'd be like most ambition, but I know the Lord's going to do it for you one day.
That's it, exactly.
We get too, our minds too much on physical materialism today.
Right.
And we tell God that He don't know what He's doing. Oh, God, He don't know what you're doing.
God wants everybody in a good, tip-top health and all this.
Lord, I've got better sense than you do, so now, since you haven't done this, I'm going to force you to do it.
Command you, Lord, to do it.
You better get down here and do this, Lord. We're commanding you to do this. And that's where it begins. Then it goes on from there to a little bit more. Carrying the sacraments, so to speak. And then into private prayer groups. And then it creeps on into the churches.
Exactly.
Right.
Now, right now, for instance, the thing current right now that's creeping in is this, what I call looseness. Is creeping in over the Lord's Supper. It's a church ordinance. But the mission over here is gone. Hey, well, why? We vote for them. Hey, but wait a minute. Do we have the authority to vote that? Is it a church? Oh, no, it's a mission, but their membership's here. But wait a minute. Is the body all together? No. Now, there's another thing, and I've had to face it already, and I'm pretty sure I've been pretty much criticized if I've heard it, because I pointed out before a bunch of men not many Sunday evenings ago that all you have to do, of course, where I made my mistake was this. I gave the illustration from Brother Bogart, and I ought not have done that because there are too many people that hate the name of Bogart currently. But anyway, he gave us this illustration. The little hole here that the little pig can get through into your field. Ah, it's just a little hole, doesn't amount to anything, but wait a minute. This pig's going to grow. And as he grows, he keeps stretching that hole. And he keeps stretching the hole, and he gets grown. Why, brother, he's got a hole there. The whole bunch of hogs can get in your field. Of course, that's an old, a generation ago illustration. Oh, no, no, no. You watch. I may not live to see what it will come to, but some of you will.
It all stems from people trying to take authority into their hands that they do not have. And this bill, the Fred Langford, people just get the idea that they're endowed with authority that they do not have. Look over here, preacher, 95% of them, preachers, they said, look over here. Now, the book down here says we can do this. We can do this. Or I can do this. You cannot. I can go demand that God heal this guy, and he's going to respect our authority. And we can demand it. Every time that you find something, some error, you can be getting into a church like that. It's to be patent.
Absolutely.
More authority than what he has.
You're right. That's it. That's the reason. I don't know whether I'll do anything with it, probably won't. But I've got a little tract that was put out in about 43 by the American, Texcana. And I wish to goodness they'd replant it. I'd do my best to get it circulated as much as possible. Here's the title of it. The Great Commission is the fundamental law of the church. Well, now, what's that talking about? A fundamental law is just simply a principle. It's a God principle is what it is. And it has to do with authority. And a simple application of it is that the specification of one thing is the prohibition of everything else. Now, let's just illustrate. What's the speed limit today? Well, now, wait a minute. Why not 65? Doesn't say anything about 65, does it? But the specification of 55 is the prohibition of anything above that. Now, there it has to do with just what you're talking about there. Brothers with authority. And it'll go right back to this now, basically. I know Dr. Bogart used to bring this out. Which one of the Ten Commandments did Cain break when he killed Abel? Okay, now there's the point. But was it wrong to kill then? Okay, now that's what we mean by fundamental law, don't you see? And you hit the nail right on the head when it gets right back there to authority. And the hardest thing in the world with the old human nature is to keep itself within its bounds. It's proper authority. The authority that God. Now, when Jesus gave the Great Commission, the first thing he says, all power, and that word power there is authority. All authority is given to me in heaven and in earth. Wonder why he said that first. Then he gave what we call the Great Commission in Matthew, and of course it's also in Mark and Luke too. Of the facets of it. But the point that he wants to show for is that he's the authority that's been given to him, and he said he didn't do his will but the will of his Father. So it gets right back to God, don't you see, through the proper authority. But the same old bug, as Brad Martin George said, tick, bites today that bit back yonder in the Garden of Eden. You'll be his gods. You'll be his gods. You'll be his gods. The first time kind of feeling big gets into our hearts, well, the Lord needs to slap us back.
It reminds me of Balaam. And it's said, look, how are we going to destroy these books? He said, well, you're not going to be able to work them, but I tell you how to get inside and kill them. But God did. Said, we don't have to.
Yeah, just get them in a mirror there and so on with the Moabites and so on, and that'll take care of the situation. And so the same thing with churches, just get them to compromise a little bit. Just get them started, and what have you got? Well, you got the very thing that we studied when we studied the leaven that was entered into the dough. And what did it do? It worked through the whole thing until the whole thing was leaven. And keep this in mind, that leaven is symbolic of religious corruption, or false teaching rather, which corrupts. And we today, when we use leaven in our breads and so on, if we didn't kill the leaven by baking it, we couldn't eat it. Absolutely. What do you do? Well, I don't know where I'm going to time to start on this next one. But I thought those things were pertinent to us, folks. Right now, and it's brought out right here. This nation, he says, consists of all, because he says regenerated persons. Well, I'll go along with that to a degree, but out of the regenerated persons as the family comes that particular group known as the church. And it's held together by the Lord Jesus Christ. It is not after flesh, but after the Spirit. That citizenship is obtained in this Christian commonwealth in which saved Jews and Gentiles are one. In other words, the problem, let's say right today, we hear so much about the racial problem, Now, we read in the scriptures that originally God put the various peoples in the various parts. And the trouble came when one began to try to take over the other part. What do we find happening right today? We find old sons of Japheth wanting to get down there and mess up some of the Shemites who are descendants of there. There you go, don't you see? The point that I want to make is this. In Christ Jesus, God is making one new humanity. And that new humanity with Jesus Christ is what's going to bring the thing into full harmony with God in the ultimate of the thing. In the last Adam. So, all right. And then he spoke here that that on whom the stone fell, brother's going to be crushed. But the one that falls on the stone will be broken. Now, here's the picture. When the old sinner falls on the stone, the old fellow's broken. You ought to read M.R. DeHaan's book on broken. Yeah, have you ever read any of that?
Yeah,
it's good. Broken things, showing how God has used broken things more than he has anything else. Broken things. Broken spirits and well, just look what all God let old Joseph go through before he was a fit subject to reach the place where he was and what he did to humanity. Now here's the thing, folks. Everything for me, or I'm, for everything is godly. It's the direction which we look. The one one that's always trying to make everything to come to me. The brother, he's the one that causes the trouble. But as long as we lose ourselves in Christ Jesus, then it's outward. Others. It's a good poem. Go to memorize on that sometime. Others. But that's the meaning right here of broken things. Now, the sinner, so to speak, that's the one that falls on the stone. He's broken. But bless your soul, the one that won't fall on the stone and be broken, that stone's going to grind the powder. That's judgment.
What is that scripture? The fall of esteem other than out there.
Well, he said that you'd have to look in the concordance. Right?
You know what? When you said that, I could have read up the message.
Sure. Yeah, that's right. And so that's the thing right here. Now then, the last thing in this, the authority is demonstrated by the line of his accomplishments, of the revelation of truth, his recognition of the divine rights, his restoration to a lost order. This was the purpose of his presence in the world. And brethren, I know you may get tired of this and may think that I've got on one key, just got a one-stringed instrument and pick on that one thing on and don't key it up where it gives a little different tune sometimes. But let me tell you, it's been this study of eternal purpose and the desire to know something about it that goes back to 1942. God down through those years and providentially led me to a little more of it. And that's the thing now that has led, that makes this course to be what it ought to be. And it's that thing that's made the parables of the greatness of the kingdom, the kingdom of heaven parables, are something today that our preachers ought to know something about. Do you agree? And you take those three things ultimately, and you get the details in all these other studies, but there's your ultimate. And I'm going to tell you, you're going to be knowing something about God that you'll never know any other way. Okay. So we'll try to start.